Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. A podcast all about human connection and radical honesty. All through June for Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. You'll laugh, cry, and maybe even end up feeling a little bit better. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Davis with the bases loaded, the 3-2 pitch. He walked. Oh, called third strike. It looked low from here, but it's a called third strike. And everybody looks like they've got their hands on their heads. McCutchen is three quarters of the way down the third baseline, frozen, and now Don Kelly has gotten tossed. And Don Kelly is going to be tossed for a third time in this, his 20th game as Pirates manager. Here's the pitch. Drive to left field, and this ball is gone. He's tied Clemente. Andrew McCutchen has homered to give the Pirates the lead here in the third. Hits this in the air to left, pretty deep. Going back is Gavin Sheets, approaching the wall, and he bangs up against the wall, and that ball is gone. Adam Frazier clears the deck with an opposite field cannonball. A home run for Frazier, his third. It's 4-1 Pirates. First and second. There's a ground ball up the middle, a base hit. The runner going to be waved, and he will score, and it's a one-run game. And it's a line drive, base hit into left field. And the game is tied, and a fly ball deep left center field. Cruises back to the wall, makes the catch. They'll take the lead on the sacrifice fly. And it's a bouncing ball off the glove of the pitcher. He can't find it. The ball settles behind the mound. Everybody's safe. And it is 6-4 San Diego. 3-2 pitch. Called third strike, and that is the ball game. The Padres come back.
Abe in Lincoln Park is on 93.7 The Fan.
Bob,
hey,
are we on limits?
Bob, here
are
we go.
On the air?
We're on the
here
air.
Here we go. Nope. I'm limits. Not even hosting a show. Joe is, and I get a hey, Bob.
Well,
right from the start.
That's when I called Limits' Saturday show as Abraham from Lincoln Park.
Oh, so Limits fell. He fell
no,
prey to it.
Who was the producer? Was it Jolie? No, it was Seth.
Yeah, it was Seth.
Seth is one of those guys that needs to be schooled.
Well, no,
stuff.
Don't worry, Bob. We knew that it was Joe off the bat. Abe
absolutely
in Lincoln
not.
Park
Seth
is on 93.7 The Fan. Good morning, Mr. Starkey.
Oh, boy.
Bob, the atmosphere is festive clearly this morning. We are at Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union in Wexford as a way to help kick off the Fan 5-Alarm Marathon, which is Thursday at Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department. We have T-Bird and Dr. Kornfeder with us today.
We're staffed.
Yeah.
We got the best in the business right here.
We're probably going to have, I think, if it's anything like last year, Dan Zangrilli show up, perhaps Bob Walk, perhaps some food trucks. But we have the boot here. That's the firefighter boot that you can stop by and help
stuff
us.
Stuff it.
Help us, yeah, fill it up.
Stuff the boot.
Like a Christmas stocking, Bob, it stands here. Donate to our Fan 5-Alarm Marathon. So, yes, by all means, we're out in Wexford at this location, but you can donate at any of the 7 locations for the Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union. Cranberry, Wexford, Liberty Center, Southside, McKeesport, Penn Hills, and the newest location in Scott Township. Bob, it's wonderful to see you today.
Great to see you. It's a beautiful Monday for a change.
Let's call
even
in
though,
sick
even
and play
though Mr.
golf.
Catanza right here is a little bit cold, but he wore shorts. So did you. You expected that. The sun's going to be more powerful later, not now.
I hope. I'm a little bit cold. Yes, T-Bird to our right. I was just asking him. He's the reigning hot dog eating champion at the Fan. Is there another one coming up here? A contest? T-Bird?
I don't know if I have it in me. I don't even know if they're doing
it. How many
it.
Did
we
you
gotta
eat?
Figure out if
How
they're doing it
eat?
First. Six.
Six.
They were oversized.
They were like sausage size. They were like quarter pound dogs.
With the bun?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Have you estimated how many normal hot dogs that would have been?
Malzy said like 11 or 12.
Malzy said it. It's gospel.
Did you have any residual effects?
No.
No.
But I was definitely extremely full. I was on the verge of throwing up for that.
Now, when you say you don't know if you do it, you would have to as a defending champion, right? You'd have to get back in the ring and defend your title.
Unfortunately, but I'm like thinking that we should do a more standardized competition. Maybe use Nathan's.
Yeah,
like the real competition.
Definitely.
They tried to kill us last time with those big dogs, and it just threw me for a loop.
Bob, how many hot dogs could you eat in one sitting?
I like hot dogs on the golf course. One is enough. I would never even try that. I couldn't do it.
That one we had at Oakmont was unbelievable. It's the greatest golf course hot dog I've ever had. Slightly burnt on that little.
It's got to be slightly burnt.
How do they cook it, Bob? It's on a little.
It's like a grill.
It's not a grill. But it's a grill, but it's not a grill.
It's not a grill. I don't know what it's called.
I don't know
whatever
how they
it
do
does,
it.
They should market it.
It's like a hot plate or something. And it came out slightly burned.
A griddle?
Yeah, a
Maybe
griddle.
It's a
griddle. That's exactly what it was. It was a griddle, Bob.
But it was very good. But hot dogs are great, but not that big. I couldn't do it, so. But, you know, Dodger dogs out there in L.A., have you ever had one of those?
No.
Okay.
It's a bucket list item.
Yeah, it
to
is.
To get out
it's
to Dodger Stadium.
Different kind of,
Limits and I both have that on our bucket list. Limits, you doing well today? Thank you, T-Bird.
I am doing wonderful, guys, and I hope the same for you. Another successful weekend of wiffle ball for me.
Yeah, I heard. You told me earlier you hit two home runs over the fence. Do you then jog around the plate? Do you point to the sky? What's your home run ritual?
Oh, I kind of pimped the second home run that I hit. I hit it a long way. It was a no-doubter.
Describe pimped. What does that entail?
So I swung the bat, dropped the bat, and kind of stared at it for about 2 seconds before I left the box.
Did you broadcast? Did you do play-by-play of your own home run?
No, but I do have the home run on video, Bob. I'll have to clip it and send it to you.
Okay.
Limits, are you a lefty or a righty?
I'm a righty, even though I write left-handed and I shoot left-handed for basketball.
That's very strange.
I'm ambidextrous.
So you knew it was gone the minute it hit the bat, huh?
Yes.
You proud of him, Bob?
Yeah, I am.
I've
seen him come a long way in the wiffle ball department, yes.
We're 8-0, Joe, but we always find a way to lose in the playoffs somehow, so we'll see if we can get over the hump this year, Bob. Very important.
Well, your name is DeBoer, the head coach of Dallas, who's gotten to the finals 7 years and lost six times trying to get to the Stanley Cup.
I've lost in the championship the last 2 years.
I'm sorry to hear that, Limit.
Thank you.
He's the Spencer Torkelson of Baldwin Wiffle Ball, Bob.
And that's that is a good name to have if you're hitting a long ball.
Well, let's get to the Pirates right off the top here, and please come out and say hello. You know what? I think in sports, it's more disappointing when you start to tease people that you might be good, or it's more disappointing when you are good and then fail. That's why whenever people say, you know, what's the most tortured fan base in the NFL, for example, and they'll say the Browns compared to the Bills. There's a few others in there, and I'll say
Dallas
no.
Has won too, I think.
Yeah, well, Dallas has won, though.
Yeah, but they haven't won a Super Bowl since 1995.
Better than never.
But, I mean, every year people say, oh, this is the year for the Dallas Cowboys. They tease you. They have good success sometimes offensively in the regular season, and they don't last.
Well, I'm glad to see their failures. But my point is that with Cleveland, they've hardly ever taken you to the precipice, Bob. It gets more painful when you get there. When you get there, like the Bills have done, you're leading the fan base on and making them wish for something and hope for something and then crushing their dreams. Now, the Pirates are obviously a long ways from even that, but they did tease us with, we might be getting a lot better. We might be pretty good. And then this series happened. Then Friday night happened. I thought that the umps got them Friday night, but they got themselves yesterday. And so we're left with what I would call just a crushing series. Crushingly disappointing. You?
Yeah, because they had taken 2 or 3 from Arizona, a very good team. They go into a better team where they have sellouts every day in San Diego, and they quite frankly should have swept that series. They got a tremendous effort from Bailey Falter. They should have, in the first game, at least they had tied the game with a chance for another at-bat with the bases loaded. They could have won that game, and it was taken away from them by an umpire who had no idea what he was doing back there. And then yesterday, I thought,
how about the arrogance of that guy?
Oh, my. He just stood. I mean, first of all.
He just stood there. And
I don't know what the rules are.
Stare.
Why is he behind home plate in the first game he's called up? Why?
Oh, I didn't even realize
that. He should have been on the base path somewhere to gradually get him involved in this, not call balls and strikes, especially in front of a sellout crowd which and, could and, influence.
Right, and then just stares at Kelly, that son of a Boris Yeltsin, Bob. And he just stared at him like that. And then you could tell Kelly was saying, do you care? Do you even care if you're reading lips? He said, do you know? And then he said, do you even care? And that guy didn't look like he did.
I also think he was somewhat influenced, and this may be a minority take here, but when Henry Davis threw down his, you know, he flung the bat through, like he knew it was a walk.
Yeah.
I think that influenced him also. I think if he had just stood there and waited for the call, it might have been ball four. But that shouldn't happen anyway. And if you had a challenge system, that would have been one. And automatically, it would take 10 seconds to change.
If you still had a challenge, if you hadn't challenged earlier.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Have to be very selective about when you do that.
Don't you want to see robot umps after all this?
For every pitch?
Yes.
Maybe. But I don't think that's going to happen. Realistically, I think what's going to happen is they will bring in that ABS system and use 2 to 5 challenges per manager, knowing that mess up, you lose it. But if you get it right, you gain another one. It doesn't take long. I hear the other side of that. People say, well, it's taking too long. How long does it take to look at a video replay of something that is a box and find out where that pitch is? It's not like you have to go through multiple angles.
Yeah, and I'm not buying these people. I got a couple of tweets. Oh, the electronic strike zone isn't always that accurate. I didn't need it on that pitch. And I would have blamed Henry Davis, by the way, in that situation if the pitch was anywhere close. It wasn't. It was low and inside.
But in fairness, that guy was all over the place all night long. He missed calls for both sides. And you can tell the frustration on both sides. So as this game wore on, something like that was kind of looming out there, given the way he was with his floating strike zone.
What'd you think of the series as a whole? I mean, the umps had nothing to do with yesterday. It was brutal.
No, my conclusion about all of this is the same as it was early on, which is, everyone knew in that Pirate organization that they had a very good starting staff potentially. And what we've seen this year has certainly corroborated that.
How many of these starts, Bob, can they
waste? If they had any hitting at all throughout the course of the first couple of months here, they knew that, and they decided not to go out and sign more. And I will grant you this, Adam Frazier for $1.5 million is outperforming what they pay him. But he's not supposed to be a starter, and that's not his fault. That's not his fault.
He also helped to bury them.
It did. But my point is, that's one of those guys for a bench guy, I would take at $1.5 million. Tommy Pham is a starter. No way. They knew it. They should have known it. Forget the metrics, whatever it says. I think they didn't do enough to support this pitching staff. They'll have another opportunity coming up this next offseason. We'll find out what they do because they don't have immediate hitting help available to them in their minor league system. So, Joe, they have no alternative but to go out and get it.
You just reminded me of something that I'm going to bring up in a second. But first, Bailey Falter. His first and last starts in May, Bob. He did get 3 wins this month, miraculously, with this offense. His first and last starts of May, he combined for 13 and a third innings, 4 hits, 1 earned run, 7 strikeouts and 2 walks. Guess how many wins he got out of that? 2 starts with 1 earned run.
0 there.
0.
But he had 3 wins. The thing is, the whole month, 35 and 2/3 innings, I saw the total, only 3 runs allowed. You should be able to win every single start. Look at Mitch Keller.
Wait, I got one of those wrong, Bob. He did win his last start.
Yeah, look at Mitch Keller.
The game the other day.
Mitch Keller has gone 10 straight games with a combined ERA of sub-3, and he has no wins to show for it.
It's unbelievable.
Again, it comes back. There are 2 things that ail this team right now. We knew the hitting was going to be a problem. They did nothing to solve it. And the bullpen. They need, and it leads me to believe that why is Carmen Majinski down there in the minors when he could be here in the bullpen? Given the fact there have been injuries all over the place to guys like Holderman and others, he should be here. And I know they try to stretch him out, and that's still their thing. They want another starter, but they need help right now in the bullpen.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, you're not kidding. And that's what cost them yesterday. And I like the job that Kelly's done so far. They're 10-12, but it's not good enough. And after the game yesterday, I think, did he say limits? Do you have that clip where he said, we went 3-3, that's good? Do you have that limits?
We used that last night on TV, yep.
I do, and here it is.
It was a tough loss today. It's hard to, when you take a loss like that, 3-3 on the road trip, is good, but coming that close today to being 4-2, a little, it is frustrating.
It's not good, Bob. But by their expectation level,
it probably is good.
It's progress, I suppose. Yeah. But it's what it is. It's unacceptable. 3-3 on that road trip. I don't care who they were playing. Look at how the games went. And you have a lead like that, you got to be able to shut it down. And it's time for them. They have insisted they're about winning right now. Correct?
That's what I mean. That's why they're talking about urgency.
Yeah.
Urgency.
So Tommy Pham doesn't need to be here anymore. I don't know what you do with Key Brian Hayes. He made a great defensive play yesterday, but he just can't hit. He can't hit. But forget about him for a minute. You're right. They got to shore up the bullpen, and there's ways to do it. I think Ashcraft is a guy you can use. I think Majinski, even though he's a starter right now in the minors, is a guy who could absolutely be helping your bullpen. They have the makings of a pretty good bullpen. Mm-hmm. I like the way Bednar's been throwing. Santana's been good all year.
Yep.
You just can't blow games like that. It's unacceptable.
And I'm not a big fan of getting Tanner Rainey these leverage positions. Seventh inning, eighth inning, ninth inning are all big-time innings. And he was the choice yesterday. To me, he hasn't done enough to earn that opportunity. I know there are injuries. For those of you saying, well, look how many injuries. Okay, fine. But they do have other guys who are out there who I think – and Majinski would be somebody who would, to me, be an automatic guy in the late innings of this team.
And here's another thing you brought up about guys rising through the minors. The Royals just promoted a kid. I think his name is Jack Caglione. Is that his name?
I saw it, but it sounds right to me.
Caglione, something like that. I don't care what his name is. In 50 – he was drafted last year. He was playing for Florida last year at this time, and he has rocketed through their system, just got called up. In 50 minor league games this year, he was hitting .322 with a .982 OPS. The A's, and again, he was the sixth pick last year. The A's the year before have a kid, and the Pirates had obviously a really good draft there with Paul Skeens, yeah. Right? But the point is, they took a kid sixth overall, Jacob Wilson, who's come up and is smashing the ball within a year. He rocketed through their system. When are they going to have a bat who does that?
How about Cole Young out of North Allegheny, brought up by the Seattle Mariners over the weekend, hits a walk-off. Now, it was a fielder's choice, but he was a walk-off guy in his first. He had a hit in his first game. He was ripping up there, and he was a 2022 first-round draft pick as well. So, listen, I know some of their better prospects are teenagers or just about to turn 20 or whatever, but, man, they need help, and those guys aren't going to be here for next year or wherever. I hope Connor Griffin's one of those guys, Joe. He shows you all the kind of potential that he could be on a fast track.
I mean, he could, and he's not on that fast because he came out of
high school. That's why next year they have no other choice, I think, but to make trades to acquire, and that brings us to Bailey Falter, I think. Bailey Falter's going to be highly coveted at the trade deadline, I think, of all the people they have. But he still has control here, and he's still a left-handed starter who I like. To get a bat, I would.
Yeah, either him or Keller. I've been talking about Keller for a long time.
Maybe
righty
both.
Or lefty.
Maybe both. Maybe that's why Majinski's being a starter. But they have other guys who are, you know, Harrington's down there. Ashcraft has been a starter and others. Jared Jones will be back now. I don't know.
When do you think we see Chandler?
I would have seen him. I thought I would have seen him by now, but because of where they are in the standings, I don't think there's any rush.
Man, I'd like to see him this week is what I'd like to see.
They have nine games coming up at home here.
Who gets here first, Bob? Aaron Rodgers or Bubba Chandler?
My guess would be Bubba Chandler. I don't think Aaron is going to be around for a while.
Now look at the standings. They're 22-38. I was texting you in limits yesterday when they were 4-1. And I was saying if they win this game, they'll be 11-11 under Kelly. They should have won Friday night. Now there was no guarantee.
Or at least had a better chance of what happened there.
Yeah, there was no guarantee. But they're so close to being 12-10 under this guy. That's an 88 win pace. That's what they should be under him right now. They're definitely playing better. I asked you guys if they were ever going to touch 500 this year. I don't think they are,
no.
Bob.
It's just too big of a hole.
They're too far gone. They're too far gone.
Yeah, you can't erase 16 games under 500. I don't care. Even if you're a decent team, that's hard to do, given this start.
So let me ask you this, and limits too. What would constitute a successful rest of the season for the Pirates? They, I believe, have 102 games left. Is it a number? Is it something else? Is it a particular person? Is it the development of a particular person? What would constitute a successful remainder of the season for the Pirates. And you can join in at 412-928-9370 off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Bob and I are out here at Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union in Wexford, kicking off the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon, although it's already been happening with plenty of donations. It actually happens Thursday at the Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department. But please stop out, say hello to Bob and I. Perhaps bring a wiffle ball bat. We can have a home run hitting contest. We'd like that. But what would for you, Bob? If I told you this will happen.
I have a hard time saying a record when I'm most interested in development.
Yeah.
So therefore, I don't think the record will ultimately matter, although it's good to see tangible results. You said they were 10-12 since Don Kelly? Okay.
Yeah.
If they go 52-50, that would be a .500 rest of the season. Since that would indicate that they're making strides from that point of view.
They're coming to get you, Bob.
No, they are coming to get you,
okay,
yes.
Bob?
Oh, my.
Oh, boy, Bob.
Why are you asking me that? You immediately came to me with that one.
Who said
Austin,
that?
He did.
Oh, that was limits,
are you all right, Bob? That suggestion there is that I'm ready to fall apart.
I didn't
apart,
know if Joe did something to you. I was trying to make sure you were okay.
No, it was – I think – I want to see Chandler come up here and
yes.
do well. I want to see who else would qualify. I want to see a guy like – trying to think of young guys from
Tamar Johnson get a call
he's not
in September?
Yeah, but that's not he's not going to be here next year.
You don't think so?
No.
He's doing well in Double A.
He's 20 years old. I think, okay. I would hope so, but I don't think so.
If he's not here next year, I'm going to be disappointed, Limits. Are you? He should be in Triple A soon,
I think. He definitely should be here next year by probably June, middle of June, right around that date. Yeah, he's starting to hit the ball better than he ever
Bob
has.
Why is Bob saying that to us? I'm not
sure. He's 20 years old, and I still think there's inconsistencies in his game. Plus, I still think they're dedicated to what they have with IKF over there at shortstop. And by the way, he's hitting over 300 now.
I really like him, but I don't like him as a shortstop. I like him as a utility guy.
I'd rather have him as a shortstop, and he's been playing every day. I don't think that's going to change.
I know, but I'm talking anything into the
future. I want to
see
Nick Gonzalez come back and play well the rest of the year, too, from his injury, whenever that is.
Yes.
They need him to be what they think he is as a seventh overall. Was he seventh overall pick? Something like that.
Yeah, that's what I want to see more than anything.
Yeah, Bob. So that would impact the record a little bit, but so be it.
I don't care about the record at this point so much. Here's what I care about the rest of the year. Skeens is a given. He's great. I want O'Neill Cruz to continue to ascend and show consistency and have a superstar type of year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not out of the question that he could be the seventh 40-40 guy in MLB history right now. I'll take 30-30.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. A podcast all about human connection and radical honesty. All through June for Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. You'll laugh, cry, and maybe even end up feeling a little bit better. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
His continued ascension, because you win with stars. I don't think this is too much to ask. Then I want Bubba Chandler to come up here and just absolutely blow us away. That's what I want to see, because I want to project to next year with him and Skeens at the top of the rotation, a star in O'Neill Cruz, and then I want to see Henry Davis. That's the other one.
Yeah. Well, I think at
that's
least
only
he's going to
get
more.
Three or four things.
Well, I would throw Horwitz in there as well, Spencer Horwitz.
Yeah.
I want to see if he's out there every day.
And you mentioned Gonzalez, so it's the development of these.
But
young
Henry Davis
hitters
shows you. You talk about indications that maybe something's starting to click. That's what you want to see with him, and then he has to start clicking. And I also want to see him play a lot more than anybody else back there, whether it's Rodriguez or Bart when Bart comes back.
Man, Rodriguez, that's a tough one. It was only 2 years ago, right at this time, that he was the number one prospect in the organization, one of the best prospects in all of baseball. Him and Davis. But Endy was ahead of Davis.
Right.
So,
and he was doing some first base.
He's another one.
Well, whatever. It's a nice problem to have. You have them all develop, start hitting at the right time, and then,
At least a couple.
Right.
At least a couple to take giant strides.
And the thing about McCutchen, we talk about, this is his last year. He's been here for... The guy still hits the ball pretty well.
I give him a lot of credit.
He's on base.
He crushed that ball
twice. Last Saturday was in the second deck.
Second deck.
Yeah. So I mean, but he also clogs the system a little bit for young guys who may need
it. That's the dilemma. Yeah. Limits, how about you? I'll take development, because here's something that I would say, Bob, and you can go ahead and criticize me if you like.
I would never do that.
It's never stopped you in the past. I think they might be 1 year delayed on the Huntington plan. And I'm not predicting great things next season, but it's pretty hard not to be in the mix, at least for a wild card. I think year six under Huntington, which was 2013, was their big year. And their breakthrough year is a better way to put it. I think next year, if it's going to happen, is going to be the breakthrough year here. I wish that they had changed general managers, but I think even as things stand, that next year could be the year they break through. You think that's crazy?
No, and I think it's high time it happens. You know, 6 years into a regime is a lot. At this point, you should be in a contention for a wild card every year. It's not that difficult to be in contention for wild cards.
You have to.
You got to be near 500, a couple games over 500. How is that not possible?
Right.
With the investments they, you know, seemingly have made in this.
Well, it was a fireable offense that they're not for Ben Cherington.
But
it turned out to be one for Shelty.
It did. And now the question is, at the end of the season, if things don't turn the way we described, what do you do?
I know. Well, you have to move on. But the conundrum here is that if guys like Davis and Horwitz and Canario continues to evolve, if those guys start to play well,
yeah,
they could save his job. But
I would give him as much as we criticize Ben Cherington, deservedly, he made a really smart trade to get Bailey Falter for Rodolfo Castro, because Castro hasn't done anything, and he looked like a promising prospect. And a lot of people had problems with that deal because of the name Falter. Oh, you're bringing in a Falter. This is what you're going to get, a left-hand guy who the Phillies don't want. Well, he was actually trapped a little bit in the Philly system.
That was a good deal.
That was a good deal.
Limits, your thoughts on the rest of the year. What would constitute success for you? And don't you dare mention the Greensboro Grasshoppers.
And make sure that they're hitting properly. I agree with you on a couple of different points, Joe, about seeing Chandler, which intrigues me, and also Henry Davis. To me, this is the year that Henry Davis, we need to find out if he's somebody that can be their major league catcher. But I'm also keeping my eyes on Donnie Kelly. Does this season prove, regardless of what goes on with Cherington, and Kelly's probably tied to whatever happens to Cherington, is he somebody that could be the long-term manager for this team moving forward? Or is this just a stopgap interim manager for the rest of the season before they ultimately find it in a completely new regime?
That's a good point, and that's something they will ultimately determine. I think they're going to stick with Don Kelly unless things really radically go wrong. If they're playing the way they're playing right now and it's sort of, you know, competitive. They've been competitive in so many games. Again, this, guys, is why I'm frustrated with overall this season. They knew their problems. They did not solve their problems, even though they knew they were going to be in contention because they have a – I'm talking about in contention every game because they have a pretty good starting pitching staff, one of the best in the National League, I think, and yet they have nothing to show for it.
When I look at yesterday's lineup, I mean, Horwitz batting cleanup and Key Brian Hayes fifth. Come on.
Who else are you going to put still, there?
Well –
Horwitz, I don't have a problem with because I want to see what he could do there. He's supposed to be the guy who comes in here from Toronto in this trade and gives them some consistency at first base.
How about Kiner Falefa leading off?
No,
with a 303 average. You'd rather have him batting ninth?
Absolutely.
You like a guy hitting 303 batting ninth?
Here's why, because he's not in a leadoff position all but one time, and that's the first time through the order. Then after that, he becomes a table setter for Cruz, for Reynolds, and for anyone else who follows there, McCutchen. So if he gets on base at a healthy clip batting ninth, those guys all of a sudden.
Why not put him in front of those guys batting first?
Because I like Cruz hit first. I like the 30-30 potential there. I think that's his.
And then everybody moves down.
Don't you understand what I'm saying, though?
Yeah,
that makes sense a little bit to you, I hope, at least?
It does. But in a lineup like this, I can't have a guy, you know, batting ninth who's maybe is he their best average hitter? He is by far, isn't he?
Yeah.
At 303? That doesn't make sense to me. I'm sorry. Tommy Pham can't be in the lineup anymore.
I thought they were playing Canario a lot, and all of a sudden it changed. Is he injured? Why is he not playing more?
Well, exactly. I was just going to say that. And Key Brian Hayes should be batting ninth. I don't look at the order like, let's see who I put in the nine hole.
Key Brian Hayes
is
a nice guy to have if you have a lot of hitting in your lineup and you're not requiring him to hit. But since they are kind of bereft of a lot of hitting here, they need somebody in his position to hit more. And I will say this, he's hitting the ball with guys on base recently to drive home somewhere, but he's not supplying any sort of power whatsoever.
Who?
Key Brian Hayes. One home run.
Yeah. He's done absolutely nothing. I think Ben Cherington's mandate and hopefully in the very near future, is to parlay some pitching into an already good young bat, not a flyer. Like, we still don't know about Canario. I don't know. Is he going to be good? Go out and get a guy who already has a good track record, and you got to give up something to get something, because this lineup is just not
And who would
tenable.
That be? What would you give
I don't
up?
Know.
You said Keller. I agree with
oh,
that.
Who would it be from
and
Pirates?
And Falter
end?
Would be in the
Keller
consideration.
Keller or Falter?
They would get you a lot, because if you're looking for proven help at
Maybe
a deadline
you said
for a
both.
Team, I would.
Maybe.
If I,
Me
and
too,
I like
if
both
I could
guys.
Get the right guy.
I like both guys. I think they have a role in this rotation, but I also know the business is the business, and you are dealing – at a surplus of pitching and you have a huge deficit in hitting, you have to solve that somehow with nobody knocking on the door. If they were a team like the Atlanta Braves with a bunch of prospects ready to play, okay, fine. Then you could wait on those guys. If not, you got to go out and get some.
412-928-9370. Come out and say hello to Bob and I. We are at Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union in Wexford, taking donations for the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon. And would love to say hello to you. Limits is back in the home studio. He's going to be really disappointed, Bob, if a wiffle ball game breaks out here.
Very. Yeah. I'll be crying back here, Joe.
I know you will. Meantime, we'll continue to talk a little Pirates. Albert Breer has some football news, because we can't go a day without an Aaron Rodgers update. And the Penguins coaching finalists. That may happen this week.
I think it will happen this week.
If you listen to people like Josh Yowie. Yep. And I certainly do. Thank you, Bob.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. A podcast all about human connection and radical honesty. All through June for Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. You'll laugh, cry, and maybe even end up feeling a little bit better. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.